Blog Talk Radio.
She fixed you, huh?
Yes. So now that we've started this way, I am Dorian Wallace, and this is my lovely sister, Raina.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, my God. So, you know what? I just realized I probably have got to resend the link to everybody.
Probably, because otherwise we're going to be... They're going to be looking for the 3 o'clock show that we didn't fucking do. Hello?
How did you know that you got scheduled for 3 o'clock?
Breeze, go to your happy place. Breeze.
Go to the happy place. Go to the happy place. So anyway, yes. So, that's what's going to happen. It has been fun.
Okay, so do your shout out.
I gotta give my shout out. I know she's not listening tonight because actually I saw her mommy yesterday, my aunt. But Jessica, when you listen in, I'm sending you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. Love you.
Love you, Jess. Okay, so Auntie Raina has a story. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, I do. I do.
All right. So, you know, I'm still laughing over it. It's really not funny. People could have been injured, but it's a good fucking story. And it actually happened. I am not kidding. God is my witness. It really, this shit really fucking happened today at work. I walk in at 6:45 this morning, and I see a supervisor and six other guys hanging around, and they're standing around a table. And on the table are 4 bottles of laxative, liquid laxative. Wait a minute. A challenge was issued. Okay, the challenge was 4 of them were going to drink this laxative, and whoever went to the bathroom first was the loser and had to buy lunch.
I would say they're all fucking losers. What the hell?
Oh, no.
Them?
It was hilarious. I cannot... Grown men sweating, crying, begging for... It was hilarious. I work with very... Of course they did. They're men.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. I
thought it was hilarious. And the loser bought lunch. And not only did the loser buy lunch, the loser bought them the greasiest meal... they could find, and on top of that, brought in a dozen donuts for them to eat.
Oh, my God.
Because those little tummies were empty after going to the bathroom like 7 or 8 times apiece.
I'm surprised any of them wanted to eat at all. That's just, oh, God, that's so wrong.
No, the tank was empty. They wanted a refill. I mean... But yeah, for about 4.5 hours there were 4 guys just sitting in a room looking at each other like, okay, which one of us is going to start sweating and make a break for the bathroom? Mind you, there are only three stalls for four guys. Watch out.
Oh, my God.
Somebody was going to be knocking on the ladies' room door while I was in there, and I would have been like, too bad, so sad. And I locked the door. I was like, fuck you. You ain't coming in.
I got a meeting in the ladies' room. I'm sorry.
I hear sirens right now. They're coming to get you.
Uh-oh. Who's
coming? Okay. Well, for those who don't know, there is a public ordinance about my sister singing. You're not supposed to be singing in public, remember?
Yeah, but I'll hide. They didn't know it was me. I'm incognito.
You're incognito. So anyway, that's my interesting story of the day. Guys wanting not to shit even though they had taken laxative. It was pretty hilarious. It was pretty hilarious.
So wrong.
It was wrong. It was totally wrong. But you know what? I laughed my ass off. So what interesting things of note have happened to you today?
Well, I have recently my nose has been liberated, so I'm actually able to breathe right for a little while.
Yay!
Yeah. But, yeah, no, aside from scheduling for the wrong time and not even knowing it, it's been a fairly droll day. But, yeah, my aunt and uncle are in from out of town, so I got to spend some time with them and my mom and dad yesterday. And, It was fun. I was tired because I'm not used to getting out of the house. They don't let me out of the cage very often. So
no.
I was like, oh, my God, there's people out here. Oh, God, there's people out here. Let me go back in. Like, really? I know, there's too many people. But, yeah, no, we went, you my favorite thing, shopping. But it was actually pretty cool. You know, they had some pretty neat stuff. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm being a girl today.
Did you buy anything?
No.
All right, you weren't that much of a girl. Okay. Hello.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I have this amount of money.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, do I really want this? Because I do it on the scale of, do I like this or do I love this?
Right.
If I love something, I'll buy it. But if I like it, I'll mull it over, and it's like it probably won't come home with me.
See, my problem is I love everything. I am no judge. I have no gauge. I am no judge. But I've gotten better with time. It used to be I really did love everything and wanted everything. But as our middle sister used to say, you can't have everything, where would you put it all? Which is pretty accurate, actually. So.
Then my sister will wind up on Hoarders.
Yeah.
No, intervention.
I don't want to be intervened, goddammit. Don't you intervene me. I don't need intervening.
Actually, I do have a shirt for you, though.
Uh-oh.
No, it was passed on to me, and I was like, yeah, no, this is not my style, but this is totally my sister.
All right, what does it look like?
You like the animal prints, so this is a very tasteful, it's very nice. I think you'll like it. I'll run it to
you. All right, for the listening audience that does not understand why this would fall in my domain, I am over 50 now. As according to my press, I'm a very hot 50, 50 plus actually. I will be 52 on my upcoming birthday. And I have graduated to the point in my life where animal prints are okay. I have to be very careful of what type of animal print, though. Now, 3 years ago, if it had stripes or cheetah spots, it was on me. That's it. Now that I'm old enough to be a cougar, I don't want to dress like one. So yes, it will have to be tasteful, and I trust you. If you say it's tasteful, I am sure I will like it.
Yeah, I think it's nice. It's just I can't. I don't know.
Why?
Since for some reason they wash me out. It's like ridiculous.
No. Really?
Yeah. Well,
what color is it?
It's like a brown. It's like leopard.
I love brown.
Yeah, it's like
okay.
A white brown with a dark brown.
Okay, I am definitely interested and more than happy to try it on. I just wonder if it's something I gave you at one time.
It might be.
Isn't that the funny part? Here, sis, have this. Okay, 3 years later, here, sis, have this. Okay, well, that's all right. That's okay. You know what? Maybe it'll suit me now. Who knows? I've had more clothing in my time than Imelda Marcos had shoes. Any of you old enough out there to know who I was just talking about, Imelda Marcos? Mm-hmm. Any of you? Anyway, so tonight, stop laughing at my age. Okay, so what's on the big show tonight?
We've got Mr. Talisman Govanan.
Oh, the pagan pundit.
Yes.
Fabulous. Fabulous. I hope he has come with an arsenal of good stuff to tell us, because I have to be honest with you, I have been very, very busy and have not had time to watch the news as well as I should. So, because I'm a lazy hoe, I've been a lazy hoe the last couple of weeks, so I need to get my learn on. You better hurry up and give me some teaching here.
I think that's kind of across the board. I mean, with all that was going on the week before
mm-hmm.
and the week before that, it's like, you know, we were kind of newsed out. Oh, lovely.
What?
I think that was firecrackers and not gunfire. Anyway.
Uh-oh.
No, I just heard bang, 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 bang. It's like, okay. Yeah.
News. News is happening right outside your door, apparently.
I know, apparently, whether you want it to or not.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't even looking out the damn window. Maybe I should, but no, I'm not gonna. Anyway, there was firecrackers today. Firecrackers, firecrackers, firecrackers. There we go. That's all it was.
Okay.
Anyway.
Go back to your safe place. Okay. But yes, between the Boston bombing and the West Texas explosion and all this other craziness, I think you're right. I think we were so tied to the news that we got a little newsed out. But you know what? The world of politics is an ever-evolving thing. Spite of what else is going on, I have been remiss in my duties on keeping up with it. So that is why it is important that we have the pagan pundit monthly to keep me on the straight and narrow and know what the fuck's going on in the world.
Most assuredly.
So what else were we talking about? I forgot.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah, for new people tuning in, this is the first part of our show, like the first half an hour. We just kind of BS for a little bit. You know, it's you are coming into our conversation. So, there's a couple people who have just come in, and they probably found the working link at this point. So I am so sorry about that. I swear, I've got to check and double check and triple check and quadruple check everything. And, okay, now there's a bunch of cars stopped out here, so.
Okay, so you've established that we have new listeners, so let me explain a little bit about our show. Desperate Housewives, let me explain myself, because, you know, as you're very happy to tell me, Lucy, you've got a lot of explaining to do. So, yes. I do. My name is Raina. This is my sister Dorian, and we we never do that. Normally, she does all the introducing, and I like it that way. But I've decided, because we have new listeners tonight, to flip it up on you a little bit. basically, the idea of this show, it is not a show for children. I swear like a fucking sailor, if you're going to be offended, turn the radio off now. Exactly. Basically, the idea of this show is it's me and my sister having a conversation. We're both witches. And we are trying to spread the gospel of we're just like every fucking body else. Get over it. She's the nice one. I am the crass one. I make no bones about that. I am a liberal politically, so if anybody wants to come at me for that, that's okay. I have fought with guests on the air. I have no problem with that. Welcome. Welcome to our show. This is our fucking show. So yes, as my sister said, the first half hour we bullshit, and then we bring on our guests, and basically y'all are invited in on the conversation. We've had many assortments of guests, all types of people from all walks of pagan life, and we invite you to look at our archives and see what you like and suggest things if you care to. So welcome, people. Welcome. Anyway, so you will notice that my sister gets distracted very easily. You will notice that I am a crank and a half. I don't care. You're also invited to friend me on my Facebook page personally if you care to. I reserve the right to say yay or nay, just as you do. But hi, we're glad to have new listeners, and we sure as fuck love our old listeners. So hi, folks. As everyone who has listened to the show before knows, I have no access to anything, so apparently I cannot see who's in the chat room, so she has to interpret for me. Hey, sis, is anybody... Tell people in the chat room, I said, hey, motherfuckers, how you doing?
They say hey.
Hey,
well,
baby.
Well, in a minute. We've actually...
Okay.
Well, the it's gone back down, but... It's like, ah, I just want a nap. Can I take a nap in the middle of the show? Would that be okay?
No.
Because I think this, I think that's what happened. That's why my nose sounds so stuffy. I don't think it's a cold. I mean, I'm still kind of hacking stuff up. I think it's allergies, which I have never had in my 39 years.
That's all right. Allergies can come upon you at any time. It is not a childhood specific thing. You can be, listen, I drank Coca-Cola 3 or 4 cans a day for many, many years, and at 36 years old, I developed an allergy to caffeine.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so that shit does happen. You can develop an allergy later. I know what I meant to ask you.
What?
Did you bring your cards with you?
You know what? I didn't, because they're in my purse in my room.
Well, let me see if I have mine with me. Hang on.
Okay.
I love it. See, now you got me doing it. One of my sister's habits is to say, hold on, in the middle of the show. Like, where am I going? I'm the fucking co-host. Hold on. Really? Okay. Let's tell the entire audience to hold on. Okay. Raina's got her cards. Anybody want to read? There. Shall I shuffle?
Go ahead and shuffle. Go ahead and shuffle because I feel like somebody needs the cards tonight.
Somebody needs a read, eh?
Yeah.
I'm picking up that somebody needs a read. Somebody needs a read. Question, is Karen Moon in the chat room?
She sure is. She waved to you.
Hey, Mama. Love you. Okay, I'm getting ready to throw. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Jesus, Mary and Johnson. Okay. Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Hang on. Oh, I got it. Okay, ready? Here we go. First card, you will be betrayed.
Oh.
And somebody already knows what I'm talking about. I guarantee it.
Uh-oh.
Somebody already knows that this reading is for them. Don't raise your hand. I'm just saying. You know who you are. Okay, apparently either your roommate or your best friend has lied to you about something, but they lied about it in the past. So this is something you suspected, and guess what? You were fucking right. Success in business. Somebody is coming up for a promotion at work. It's not the one you originally wanted. Sorry. The universe said there was something better, and it is coming your way. So just sit tight and wait for it. Okay?
Okay.
Next thing, don't say anything. Good news from a close friend. So you're about to get some information on someone who knows something about someone you're interested in or otherwise involved with that you did not know about, and it's better than you thought it would be. Okay. Next. Wait, I'm not done. I pulled five. Ha 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 ha. A secret transaction. Don't be doing nothing shady now, because your ass going to be caught. So be careful. Don't do any of the sleight of hand bullshit. And it doesn't mean money. Transactions are any type of exchange. So be right with it. Be fair with it. Don't fuck off. Okay? Somebody's wanting to think that they can get away with a little something, something. No, you cannot. Don't fuck off. Next card is unlucky, caution needed, and it deals directly with that transaction. So I'm telling you, do the right thing, don't fuck up.
Okay?
That's the reading.
Yay!
You getting anything?
Actually, I am kind of distracted because I looked out the window because there apparently that was gunshot. There's somebody laying in the middle of the street. So
what?
I'm sorry to drop that heavy on you. That's never happened in my neighborhood, and that's kind of freaking me out. The cops are handling it. I'm not going out there. So that's interesting.
Well, that's heavy duty. Are you okay?
Yes, I am. I am.
Okay.
I will be okay because there's no sense in going out there. What's done is done. I'm safer in the house.
Yes. Wow. Okay. Well, folks, we've never had that happen on the air before, a murder in the middle of our show. Wow. I think that's a first, I have to say. I think that's a first.
Yes. So when Taliesin comes on, I'm going to probably excuse myself for a moment and go check on my children, which I'm sure he's fine. Otherwise, I would have heard yelling. Okay, sorry, that just kind of shook me up. goodness.
Do you need me to come over there? Because I'll leave where I am and come there. Yes, I know everyone's listening to us say this, but I can do that.
I know. No, that's okay because you won't be able to get in here anyway. Okay. Yeah, it's right in front of my house.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of noise going on here. I don't know what's going on. But, yeah, this is a more interesting show than you guys freaking bargained for.
It's more interesting than I fucking bargained for.
Yeah, that definitely wasn't my plan for the night. Wow, I'm hoping that those new people who moved in, I hope they move right the fuck back out.
Oh, do you think do you think it's new neighbor related? That would not be cool.
Yeah, I do. Because my theory, yeah, you're getting a live play-by-play here. My theory is they all went to a funeral today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'm thinking it's something like that.
Gotcha.
Maybe a retaliation, and they need to get the fuck out of this neighborhood because that's not cool. We don't need that.
No. That is not cool.
Yes, that's not cool. That's not cool. Whoo, whoo, whoo.
Okay, I've got a breaking news. Hang on. I've got breaking fucking news. It may not be as personally interesting as what you just told us, but breaking Breaking news. U.S. officials say Israeli warplanes have launched airstrikes in Syria.
Oh, God.
Okay. So I'm just saying, Israel, U.S. ally, going against Syria, that could happen. I'm just saying. Can't wait to get Allison's take on this. Do you want to dial him in, sweetheart?
Yeah, you know what? I think I am going to dial him in a little bit early.
It's only a few minutes.
This is a different set of circumstances where, we're not used to this happening. So something's trying to intervene with our show tonight. Weird. I'm going to try his cell phone, see if he's there.
Okay.
Doobie doobie.
Wow. What a fucking weird night.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
You need to write that up? That was them calling in. Time for me to go on.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey! It's been weird.
I tell you what, sis, can you explain to him why we're calling him early?
Okay, I will.
Getting some food up for my familia here.
Uh-oh.
So, what's happening?
Well, okay, so it's been an interesting day and evening. The reason we're calling you early is because apparently someone was just killed outside of Dorian's house, and she wants to go kind of investigate what happened because she looked out the window and there were cops and a body in the street. So we decided we would tap you a few minutes early to kind of help us out with that. I mean, not necessarily help us out with what's happening in front of her house, but she wanted to go take a peek. And so I immediately have questions for you. I just got this breaking news that U.S. officials say Israeli warplanes have launched in Syria.
Oh.
Like right now. Like as we speak, this is being announced.
Well, I mean, anybody who knows anything at all about international relations knows that Israel's been flying sorties over Syrian airspace for the past several decades. It's
mm-hmm.
nothing exactly new. And with the increased activity going on in Syria when it comes to the revolution and the government forces versus the rebels and that sort of thing, the Israelis mm-hmm. are becoming doubly and triply interested in what's going on out there. So it's not surprising at all that they're going to be flying sorties over Syrian airspace to check things out. I mean, because let's face it, the human intelligence coming out of Syria is dicey at best, even for the Israelis, and they have one of the best intelligence operations in the world. So they're going to want to get some real-time pictures, take a look and see what's going on, and see if they can suss out the information. If they lost airplanes over Syrian airspace, it could be, I would actually probably lay money on the idea that there's mechanical malfunction, because the Israelis have really good planes, and the Syrians, even though they're one of the better militaries in the Middle East, would really have a hard time shooting down Israeli planes. So, I mean, Israel kind of gets the U.S.'s hand-me-downs when it comes to military technology, and you'd have to go back to probably 1970s American technology before the Syrians could really shoot it down, unless they got lucky. I mean, you can always get lucky. But,
well, yeah, depending on who their allies are.
The Israelis are going to be going over the Syrian airspace because they got their fingers in all the pies over there, especially with Bibi Netanyahu over there. Excuse me.
Bless you.
The Prime Minister of Israel, he's a
mm-hmm.
Hardcore right-winger, and a lot of the younger Israelis coming up are becoming more and more disenchanted with Bibi's politics. So he's kind of feeling the heat, and he's feeling the need to assert himself even more with the hardliners, which means getting a little bit more bold and probably a little bit more reckless.
Wow. So you don't foresee us having to, like, get involved in a conflict in Syria?
No, I mean, that's the thing, too, is that, you know, if the Obama administration wanted to get involved in Syria, they'd have all the excuse they'd ever need to do. The Assad regime is ridiculously violent and oppressive. They regularly commit crimes against humanity on a regular basis. We know what their torture chambers are stocked with because we sold them the equipment back during the Bush years. So, you know, during Bush 1 and Bush 2, they bought a lot of CIA Kasimovs of torture equipment. So we know what they got. And they're a pretty brutal regime, and they've probably used certain poison gases or chemical weapons against pockets of their own people. So we have all the excuse we need to go in there, but the Obama administration has just gotten us out of the Iraq war. They're winding down the Afghanistan war. They do not want to start another hot ground war in the Middle East. I think the most you're going to see the U.S. do is probably arm the rebels, possibly work with the U.N. to find some sort of coalition of people who could foreseeably not only overthrow the Assad regime, but actually form a stable government once it's done. So, because you got to understand that Syria is the only thing that's been keeping Lebanon stable for the past 30 years. I mean, you know, when I was a teenager, when you and I were teenagers, you know, we heard news about Lebanon going to shit all the time. And
yes,
the only
that's
reason
true.
That Lebanon's been stable at all over the last 30 years is because Syria's kind of been running the country. They've been kind of an unofficial province of Syria. So Syria, to stabilize Syria, also stabilizes Lebanon, also stabilizes the northern border of Israel, and also gives the Israeli hardliners a lot less of an excuse to do stupid shit. So I have a feeling we're probably going to see a lot of diplomacy, a lot of working behind the scenes. John Kerry really has his work cut out for him, but I think he's got a handle on it. I think he can do it.
Wow. That's a lot going on.
There's a tremendous amount going on. That's just the incredible thing. I mean, just this week, you've got, you know, Republicans in the House of Representatives have kind of codified their extreme dysfunction. I mean, to the point where, you know, with all of the things that are going on in this country, just in our country, things that are important, things that we want to, you know, kind of get a handle on, things like, you know, unemployment, the economy, the sequester, and all that stuff, there was a big piece of news that Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader, announced yesterday. Their major legislative initiative for the month of May in the House of Representatives is to hold the 35th symbolic vote to repeal Obamacare. That's what they're going to be doing this next week. They're going to be passing a bill to repeal Obamacare that will die in the Senate, go nowhere, and even if the senators all of a sudden got a case of the stupids and passed it, it would be vetoed by the president anyway. So the Republicans have already spent to the tune of about $150 million of taxpayer money holding symbolic votes on repealing Obamacare that go nowhere, and they're doing it again.
This makes no sense whatsoever. So they are purposely – let me see if I understand this. So they are purposely going to bring a bill that they know won't pass. They just know it won't pass. It's completely symbolic, frivolous, and a waste of huge amounts of money. Did I get that?
That's precisely it. Because the thing is that the Republican majority in the House is so dysfunctional and so disconnected from each other that they can't agree on what to do. I mean, they can't even agree amongst themselves what to do or where they should go. So what they do is they pick these things that a majority of the batshit crazy people in their caucus like the sound of, and they go ahead and do it. Because if they didn't do that, they would be passing another bill to rename a post office for the fifth time. It's kind of funny. You know, there's a historical precedent where people remember that Harry Truman at one point ran against the do-nothing Congress in the 1950s.
Right.
I mean, that was Harry Truman's whole campaign saying, you know, reelect me and I'm going to whip this do-nothing Congress into shape. It was the first time that the phrase do-nothing Congress was ever coined. And that do-nothing Congress passed in 4 years a somewhere around 950 different pieces of legislation. Well, the average is around 2,000, so they were down over 50%, and that was, you know, just a big, you know, clusterfuck. The thing is that the current do-nothing House of Representatives has passed in the neighborhood of about 175 different pieces of legislation in the last 3 years. So they're way underperforming even by historical standards.
She's back.
Hello.
Yes, we were talking about Syria and Israel and waiting for you to come back. Is everything
in the house?
Yeah, and
everybody's okay. You know, there. I don't know. There was apparently six shots fired. But the boys are okay and hubby's okay. Nothing hit the house. It was just across the street. And they took him away on a stretcher. So, and they were, you know, they had the bag to his face. So apparently he's still kicking, so to speak.
Oh. Okay.
Sorry about that. But I appreciate you being so patient with us, assaulting you and taking you on air early.
I was just finishing up cooking some dinner. I was making braised winter vegetable pasta. So.
Ooh! Recipe!
Cauliflower, butternut squash, whole wheat pasta. Mm. We cooked with a little Chardonnay. We used some vegetable, some vegan vegetable broth. There's sage. There's freshly chopped garlic and freshly chopped onion. Just yum stuff. That's
delicious.
Part of my current adventure. For those of you who haven't been looking at my personal Facebook page, I am a newly minted vegan. So I have radically changed my diet. And I'm,
yay!
Thank you. And so now I am getting into cooking all kinds of weird and wild and wonderful things. Yesterday I made whole wheat sesame noodles, and today was braised winter vegetables with whole wheat pasta.
Ooh.
God,
that sounds good. Sounds excellent. Okay.
I got a great big kitchen in my new house. It's spacious. I love it. I've got a motherfucking dishwasher. So I am just cooking up like a storm, okay? I'm like a hippie Martha Stewart here, okay? That's just what's going on.
Well, I'm coming to visit, so, yeah. If your kitchen is that big, that'll be awesome. We will have a party at your house. I do want to ask you about the what seems to be, and there are naysayers all over the place, but the economy seems to be picking up, and unemployment seems to be dropping, and stocks are finishing at all-time highs. Why are Republicans still screaming that the economy is in the toilet?
Well, because they have nothing else. That's the thing. If the economy starts to improve at all, they've already staked out a claim of doing absolutely nothing. That's their whole attitude, is that government is never the solution. Government can't fix anything. So their stated policy...
Why are they in the government?
Exactly. If you don't believe the government can do anything, maybe you shouldn't be in it. And that's another piece of the extreme disconnect of the modern GOP. The thing is that that's all they have. If they come out and admit that things might be getting better, in spite of everything they've done to throw up all these roadblocks, the real danger is for people to start thinking, wow, if the president and the Democrats have been able to get something done in the face of unprecedented obstruction, what might happen if we were to hand these guys the keys back to the entire government, give them the House, give them a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, and really see what could happen? That's a real danger for the Republican Party, because if, say, something happens and the Democrats do take the House in 2014, if we either take a filibuster-proof majority or change the filibuster rules to make it far more difficult to abuse the filibuster the way the Republicans have, then you could see a good 2-year period minimum where the Democrats are going to get to be able to use their progressive economic policies to really try to get things, some good things done, to try to get some positive things done. And if that starts happening, it's basically the death knell of the Republican Party as a national party. I mean, we are literally coming down to the last few chapters in the book here. This isn't just, you know, turning another page into another saga. I mean, we are, you know, we you know, let me find a suitable geek reference here, okay? We are standing before the gates of, not Minas Tirith. Oh, my God, my brain is farting. It's been almost a half a month since... It's been almost half a month since 420, but I still got short-term memory loss. What was Aragorn the king of? Question, what was Aragorn the king of?
Oh, it's Middle-earth, wasn't it? Hold on,
no, the kingdom, Gondor. Gondor, that's it.
Oh, Gondor, you're right.
Right, so we are making our stand. We're at the gates of Gondor. We're waiting for the... you know, we're waiting for the dead guys to come off the boats, and you know, we're talking end game here. So, excuse me, leftover 420. Anyway, but for the Republican Party, if you know, the only thing that they've got going right now is a certain amount of base cynicism amongst the American people. You've still got too many people who have been deceived by the popular media into thinking that, you know, both sides do bad stuff, both sides are equally to blame, both sides are crooked, both sides, yada, yada, yada. If the Democrats are actually able to take control and do something properly this time, because we have enough progressives like, say, Elizabeth Warren in there, then people could actually see results from government. If you see results from government action, it completely demolishes the entire foundation that the Republican Party has been built on since the Reagan Revolution of the early 1980s, and that was built on the idea that government is never the solution, government is only the problem. So so that's really what's going on here. And the hell of it is that we are seeing a complete and total revolution in the way things are being done. We're seeing more and more people having a stake in things. I mean, this time after the election, the Obama campaign did not roll up its sidewalks like they did after the 2008 election. The Obama for America has now become Organizing for Action, and they're trying to maintain an election year level of activism amongst people so that hopefully during midterm elections we can get the Obama coalition to turn out and to start taking back some of these House seats, taking back more of these Senate seats. And, you know, and it's really incredible because a new Pew poll was released today that showed that 70% of the people who were extremely active in the last election are still active right now. They haven't dropped off. They haven't, you know, had the normal thing after a major election, which is, okay, we're done. Somebody got elected. Now we're going to cool off and wait for the next primary season in 3.5 years. That's not happening this time. And the Republicans are absolutely terrified because their entire governing strategy was banking on the way things always have been. The idea that in off-year elections, like 2014 is going to be, they tend to be an older and whiter electorate. You tend to only have your base turnout. And the Republican base has always been extremely motivated. Even if they're tiny, they've always been extremely motivated. They still got the black eye in office, so they still got that to motivate them. And they've been kind of banking on things being kind of the way they always have been. And the Democrats and the progressives are working really hard this time to try to make sure that that's not the case, to make sure that we get our people out next year, that we you know, basically just continue the tide that started in the 2012 election, just try to sweep things back into sanity again. I mean, as it was, you know, 69% of Democrats are demanding that Hillary Clinton run for president. And if the election were held today and Hillary Clinton was running against absolutely any Republican in the country, even popular guys like Chris Christie, she would beat them in Texas. So the political landscape is definitely getting curiouser and curiouser.
Oh, boy. I love it. That part I love.
You got to love that. Oh, and you know what's really funny today is that Ted Cruz, now, I don't know if you've heard a lot about Ted Cruz, but he's the latest darling of the extreme right. He's a senator out of Texas.
That on my link. Yeah.
Yeah, Ted Cruz. This is somebody who makes Michelle Bachmann look like Joni Mitchell. This guy is just ridiculous. And he is
great reference.
He's challenging Joe Biden to a debate over gun safety. I'm like, oh,
no.
Motherfucker, bring it on. I want to see Joe. I want to see Joe use that little boy's diapers to give him a wedgie like you wouldn't believe, like a Texas wedgie, the kind that leaves your pants smoking when you're done. I mean, and I want to be the first person to propose right here. I think the Democratic Party needs to change its rules. I think we need to put in a rule that basically says that Joe Biden gets to run for vice president every single election until he decides he doesn't want to do it anymore. Let's let Joe Biden be vice president for life because the guy fucking rocks.
Yeah,
awesome.
I love Joe. He's awesome.
Joe's awesome.
He is awesome. And but it, I actually like calling his wife Jilly the Lip, because after it came out that, you know, Biden was asked to be vice president, she kind of let it slip that he had the choice between being Secretary of State and vice president. And she's the one that leaked that to Oprah when she wasn't supposed to. So I'd love to hear what the behind doors conversation was for that.
There you go. Well, I think she wanted him to be vice president because then he'd be home more. So
yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Excuse me.
You're fine. You're fine. Take some water if you need. Take a breath.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know me. I just start talking, and I tend to try to breathe through my ears because I just don't want to pause for oxygen so I get my thoughts out.
Well, I don't want you to choke to death either, so sometimes a pause is
really
okay.
Funny. You know what's really funny is that you don't know if it's nature or nurture, but my 9-year-old boy is so much like his dad. Not only is he a horror movie fanatic, like I always was growing up, and not only does he have a selection of musical tastes that would give most people whiplash,
mm-hmm.
Seriously, two of his favorite bands are Cannibal Corpse and Lady Gaga.
Oh, wow.
But he is such a political little boy. I remember during the last election, I went to go pick him up in Ohio and Pennsylvania, there's this chain called the Giant Eagle. It's a grocery store. And they have a thing called the Eagle's Nest, where you basically parents can leave their kids there to play video games and do arts and crafts while you're out shopping, which is really nice because then you don't have somebody wanting absolutely everything in the store while you're shopping. It's a wonderful service. Well, I go to pick up my son from the Eagle's Nest, and the woman who was running it there told me that he gave her a 10-minute speech on why, if Mitt Romney wins, the middle class loses. He's 9. So
wow.
Yes. Yes. And my son's name is Anakin. Yes, I am that much of a geek. But
and he's adorable, by the way. And his daughter's adorable, too.
Oh,
you have beautiful
Anya.
Children.
Anakin and Anya. Oh, and it's so funny right now. If I ever want, whenever I'm trying to work and I got kids hanging over my shoulder going, what you doing? What you doing? What you doing? All I have to do is bring up a picture of two people kissing, and that just sends them right away. It's just perfect. They're at the great age for that.
Hilarious.
I'm serious. It's like I'm watching some of these old classic horror movies with my son. Like I'm showing him like Friday the 13th, and you know some people are like saying, "Oh, what do you do when they have the nudie scenes?" Okay, first of all, this kid's been going to pagan festivals before he was 1 year old. Okay, he's seen nudity. And yet, though, he's at this age where when people start getting naked on the screen, he's like, oh, God, why do they have to put that in these movies? Can't they just cut their heads off instead? It's so funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I've been going over politics. I've been going over politics with my son, and all the time, when I try to explain what the Republicans are doing, he said, but that's dumb. I said, yeah, well, that's kind of the point. Oh, did you hear the NRA has just elected a new president? And this is a guy who is such a fucking redneck. he calls the Civil War the War of Northern Aggression. Yes, he's one of them.
How dare they try to take away his slaves?
Oh, yeah, I know. And as a matter of fact, I like to call the Civil War the War of Southern Treason, but that's another matter altogether.
There you go.
this guy is so key wackadoo ridiculous. They put people in there to try to make Wayne LaPierre, their vice president and CEO, look reasonable in comparison. That's really why they do that. But it's just becoming a comedy of errors there. I mean, Jeff Flake. There's somebody else we could talk about guns and the NRA. Jeff Flake. The last name of Flake is a perfect name for this guy because he is a huge, seething, sprouted flake of nuttiness. This is a guy who, for people who don't know the story of Jeff Flake and how he has become the least popular person in the Congress. Now, when you consider that Congress's approval ratings are only slightly above pedophiles, being the least popular person in Congress, that's a feat. Okay, those are the kind of poll numbers that makes Dick Cheney go, wow, dude, you're fucked. What happened with Jeff Flake? Jeff Flake was having a town hall meeting, and there was a woman who came to him whose child had been murdered with a gun, and she was asking him if he was going to support mandatory background checks for weapons. Basically, you know, not imposing any more laws than we already have, but just making it so that when you buy a gun, it doesn't matter if you're buying it at a gun show or at a Walmart or anything else like that, that, you know, you can do a basic criminal background check to make sure that you've never tried to kill anyone, to make sure you've never tried to shoot your wife, that kind of stuff. And he assured her that he told her he certainly agreed with background checks and would be voting for it. Then when the bill came up, The bill wasn't even coming up for a vote. That's the thing that most people don't understand about the background check bill that failed. The bill was not coming for an up or down vote, yay or nay, pass or fail. It was coming up for a cloture vote. Basically, the Democrats wanted to end debate and vote on the bill, and the Republicans objected and wanted to continue indefinite debate, i.e. a filibuster. And when that happens, you need a 60-vote majority in order to force the debate to end and vote on the bill. And Flake voted against cloture. He voted to basically, not only was he not going to vote for the bill, he wasn't even going to allow it to come up for an up or down vote. Because if the bill came for an up or down vote, it would have passed it past 56-44. It was pretty much a sure thing. So Jeff Flake and other people banded together to make sure that the background check bill, just the universal background check bill, wasn't able to come up for an up or down vote. And yeah, and that was like the biggest weasel move that people could have imagined. I mean, it even got to the point where Eric Cantor, somebody who looks like, he just looks like that person who grew up always saying, "I'm telling," that kind of sour look on his face. He really looks like somebody put sand in his butt plug. That's what Eric Cantor has that look like all the time. And Eric Cantor even thought that Jeff Flake should have went ahead and voted for cloture after having that very tender moment with that mother that was captured on fucking video and put on YouTube. So it's to the point where even the reality challenge Republicans like Jeff Flake, he came out and said that he guesses his popularity is somewhere below pond scum. So that was a direct quote from him. And then he went around and tried to say that the poll was biased against him. It's kind of a problem, though, because just the past year he was praising the same polling firm for polls that showed how popular he was in his own district. So it's just a big mess. And that's the kind of thing that's just completely, you know, gun nuts aside, you know, the psychos on Facebook that a lot of us have on our friends list or that are friends of friends and that pop up on there, who seem to think somehow that their AR-15 is going to protect them against a tank or a Predator drone strike. These people notwithstanding, more and more people are just going, Jesus Christ, people, just fucking pass something already.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't understand.
It protect the guy outside my house.
Exactly.
That's like not more than 45 minutes ago.
Exactly.
You know,
And well, yeah, go ahead.
Oh no. It's just, you know, there are small children in this neighborhood.
And the thing, though, too, is that what we've got to do, those of us who want to have some sane and rationality brought to the gun laws, is that we've got to stop allowing the pro-masker crowd. Because that's what, if you're going to vote against mandatory background checks for firearm purchases, you're pro-massacre, okay? You're not pro-gun, you're pro-massacre. Because any reasonable person who could pass a background check has certainly no problems with background checks. But you can't allow the pro-masker crowd to try to change the debate, because all too often they try to make it into a, you know, we either have to have unlimited guns or absolutely no guns at all. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about sane and rational gun laws. Most people don't understand how fucking whacked out things are. Most people don't understand that the Centers for Disease Control is prohibited by law from collecting data on gunshot wounds on a national level. They're not allowed to do a study. They're not allowed to even count how many people have been shot on a national level. The NRA wanted to abandon because the NRA and the Republicans knew that if people started to see real data on guns and their effect in our culture, that support for gun control measures would go way up. Here's a little thing here. Here's something you can bring forward. Here's a little helpful tip for people listening when you're trying to win a gun argument against a psychotic person. Basically, you're not going to convince them that you're right. What you got to do is you got to reach the people who are reading your conversation on social media who aren't necessarily speaking up, but they're seeing what you're saying. For example, there's a law in this country that you need to do a background check before you can buy a gun at, like, a gun store. So if I walk into a gun store and I want to buy a gun, they're going to do a background check to make sure that I'm not paranoid schizophrenic. They're going to make sure that I'm not violent. They're going to make sure that I'm not don't have a history of domestic abuse, that kind of thing. And yet, if I go in there and I fail a background check, one of you two could go in, or anybody listening who can pass a background check can go into that gun store, buy the gun, pass the background check, and then sell it to me, and that's not against the law.
Oh, that's not cool.
No, so literally, it's kind of like saying, you know, I mean, if you go and you buy alcohol for someone who's not old enough to have alcohol, and you get caught, you get in trouble because that's against the law. Same too if you're 40 and you buy a pack of cigarettes and you give it or sell it to a 15-year-old, you can get in trouble because that's illegal. And yet if you go and buy an assault rifle and hand it over to somebody who has, you know, who maybe has shot the last three people they lived with and is out on parole, that's not illegal. And it needs to be illegal. It's called straw purchases. That's what that particular thing is called. That's a straw purchase. And that is not illegal. Another thing that happens is that people go across state lines. Like, for example, New York State has very, very tough gun control measures. So what they'll do is somebody will go to Virginia and buy a whole shit ton of guns, transport them into New York, and sell them. And even if it's against New York law, that's not against federal law to do that. Simply subvert the gun laws of each individual state is not illegal. That's another change that the NRA got the Republicans to push through during the Bush era when nobody was really looking.
You know,
these are the things that we need to fix. Yeah.
When you sit and you think about all the fuckitude that's going on,
right.
You know, not that we don't have any fuckitude on our side, because I know there's some.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty.
In the past 10 to 15 fucking years of fuckitude that has been going on in the Republican Party, and these crazy people that stick up for them, what the hell is going on? I don't get this. Why have we gone so far backwards? that, you know, we care more about, you know, somebody brought up a good point. The fact that, you know, they're all up in arms that, you know, a 15-year-old can get access to the morning after pill, which, I'm sorry, but that would prevent her from going on welfare. That would be, you know,
right,
prevent her from becoming an unwed mother like they don't want.
Right.
Or living in sin. You know, but a 5-year-old is allowed to have a fucking firearm. Like the 5-year-old
exactly
who shot his 2-year-old sister.
Right. And
you know,
I'm sure the family feels ever so safe. I mean, it's, you know, it's a serious fucking disconnect. And to understand, see, the thing that most people don't understand is how, let's say, the Republican Party could get where they are now, how they could go so severely off the rails. And really what it is it's actually called being a victim of your own success. It's doing short-sighted political plays to try to gain temporary advantage that kind of screws us in the long run. And for example, by now, most people know that Osama bin Laden got most of his training in how to fight a really big enemy from the United States. We trained Osama bin Laden and the rest of the people that would later become al-Qaeda and the Taliban when the Russians, the Soviets, had invaded Afghanistan, and we trained these guys on how to use guerrilla tactics to have successful military operations against a much bigger foe. And it kind of bit us in the ass because, you know, we did that stuff in the 80s, and it helped put the spank on the Soviet Union. Afghanistan became their Vietnam, and it helped hasten the collapse of the Soviet Union. But then, fast forward 20 years, and all of a sudden, our own expertise is being used against us. And this is something that the Republican Party is starting to reap. And this is something I've been waiting for. I was a little ahead of the curve. I started predicting a coming Republican Civil War back in 1988. Because what a lot of people don't understand, these days when you think of hardcore right-wing fundamentalist Christian, you tend to think, of course they're Republican. It's like one of those things like, oh, of course they are. But there's at one point in our country's history where hardcore right-wing evangelical Christians were not Republican, they were not Democrat, they were extremely apolitical. They didn't trust politicians. They viewed it all as very dirty, about getting involved with the world instead of thinking about what's important and godly, and they just saw it as horribly corrupt. And then, though, around when they were warming up for the 1980 political races, back in, you know, around 78, 79, when people were really starting to warm up, getting ready for the presidential elections that were happening in 1980, the Ronald Reagan people decided to reach out to the hardcore right-wing fundamentalists because the Reagan people were trying to kind of finish a takeover of the Republican Party that had started with Barry Goldwater. For a long time, the Republicans were run by the Eastern elites, the Republicans like Nelson Rockefeller and people like that from New York State, who tended to be fairly fiscally conservative, but they could be fairly socially progressive. I mean, most people forget that the EPA and the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act were all created and or passed under Richard Nixon. And they were all created and passed with a good amount of Eastern Republican support. The conservative takeover of the Republican Party really wasn't codified until the Reagan Revolution. And that's why the Reagan Revolution wasn't so much a revolution in the country, it was a revolution within the party. And that was where the Reagan people went to these hardcore social conservatives and said, hey, guess what? You guys don't like gay people, we don't either. You guys don't like affirmative action, we don't either. You guys think women should be barefoot and pregnant, we're okay with that. And they started reaching out to these Neanderthal right-wingers and bringing them into the party. And in many ways, that was actually a continuation of something Nixon did start, which is known as the Southern Strategy. There's at one point in American history where if you were black, you were Republican. Why? Abraham fucking Lincoln. He was Republican.
Yeah.
And the Democrats were the Southern Party. They were the racist party. They were more predictably in league with the segregationists. And what changed all that was John F. Kennedy. coming in and deciding to remake the Democratic Party in his image. LBJ saw the writing on the wall, and even though he was a Texan, he wound up getting a lot of the civil rights legislation passed that Kennedy never had a chance to pass. And because of that, though, a lot of white people in the South started getting alienated from the Democratic Party. And Nixon's Southern strategy in the early 1970s was to reach out to these very racist people and say, you don't like black people? Well, we're not swell with them either. Come on and join us. That's what Nixon called his silent majority. If you hear any old speeches from Nixon, that's what he called them, the silent majority. But the Southern strategy started to ally the Republican Party with Southern racism. And then the Reagan Revolution started to ally the Republican Party with extreme social conservatism. And all of it was a ploy by the fiscal conservatives to try to get enough votes to get their people in. Because really what happened year after year, anybody who's old enough to remember the 80s and who remembers the way the Reagans and the Republicans did things, is the Republicans would always run on all these social issues, abortion and all that crap. Prayer in schools was always a big one with them. And yet when they get elected, they get into office, and they just start passing all these, like, fiscal legislation, tax cuts, deregulation, all that shit. And so, they would say one thing. When they got elected, they would do another. But the thing is that the social conservatives weren't as stupid as the fiscal conservatives thought they were. The fiscal conservatives thought that they were useful little vote monkeys, that they could just go out, vote for the Republican guys no matter what they did. But the thing is, social conservatives started getting involved with the party on the local level. They started getting involved on town councils, county councils, state legislatures. They started working their way up. And so one thing that happened in the 90s, during the entire Newt Gingrich era, is you had people who had been raised in the Republican Party, who had been working in the Republican Party for 10, 20 years, all of a sudden they started coming into positions of power. And these were not the old-style fiscal conservatives who would pretend to be socially conservative to get the votes and then get into office and do whatever they wanted. These were true believers. And actually, the George W. Bush administration was the first Republican administration that had a majority of true believers, people who genuinely believed the party line on social issues, on economic issues. It wasn't just a cynical ploy anymore. These were true believers. And we saw just how competent the George W. Bush administration was. So the thing is that what's going on right now is that after years of coming and giving their votes and yet getting very little at the table, the social conservatives are demanding much more of a say in what's going on. They're genuinely threatening to bolt the party. If the social conservatives stayed home, the Republicans could never win pretty much any election again ever. And now you're starting to see that Republicans are starting to talk seriously about immigration reform. All of those guys that they got back in the 70s during the Southern strategy are starting to stick their heads up and say, wait a second, this isn't part of the deal. We joined you guys because you said you were going to help us stop the brown people from taking over our country. And now they're genuinely paralyzed. There are people like John Boehner would really love to get immigration reform passed. John Boehner would love to get a bill passed that had a pathway to citizenship. He just wants to get the issue out of the public sphere because he knows it's a losing issue for them. But the hardcore racists from the Southern strategy won't let them drop it. And the social conservatives are allied with the white Southern racists, and they're basically keeping the party from doing anything they need to do to try to rebrand themselves. It's just, I've been predicting this was going to happen since 88. It only took me, 27 years late. But hey, better late than never.
There you go. I know somebody posted to Ted Cruz, go.
Say what?
What do you call it? They're thinking of, the Tea Party, or the Republicans are trying to say that Ted Cruz, they want him to run for president, but he was not a natural born citizen. See, now, this has come up in the last couple of days. I just recently found out, and I posted it on your wall, that John McCain is not a natural-born citizen.
Well,
or does the
technically,
man in Panama, yeah, does it?
He was
does
born
it
in Panama, but he was born to an American citizen, so it counts. So, if you're traveling overseas and you have a kid like in England, because the kid's parents are American citizens, that kid is still an American citizen. That doesn't really change. Now, never mind the birthers would have you believe all kinds of things, saying, well, Obama's mom was a citizen, but his dad wasn't, so that makes him ineligible. Wrong, Sparky.
Yes. It was never even brought up as an issue with John McCain, even though it's still they still will not shut up about it on the other side about Obama. It's like, oh, my gosh, would you just stop?
Oh, yeah. I see, that's the thing. I stopped even entertaining birthers as being anything other than wild-seething racists. And I just say, you know, because I will always come out and say that there are many legitimate reasons to have a problem with President Obama. There are many issues that you could pick, genuine policy issues that you can pick to have a difference with the man on if you're going to say something negative about him. But if you feel the need, if the only reasons that you can give for disliking him are clearly debunkable lies, you're fucking racist. That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, non-racist
I'm with that.
Have real reasons to say, you know, you can say, I don't like the guy's drone strike policy. I don't like the guy's, you know, I don't like the guy appointing corporate people into all these government posts. Those are all legitimate things. Those are all policy issues. It's, you know, but when you're going to come out and say, you know, oh, the guy's just a Muslim socialist Marxist. And it's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Oh, my God.
Don't forget Hitler. He's also Hitler.
Well, yeah,
remember?
Don't forget, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a socialist and a fascist, you know. That's like calling someone a Jewish Nazi, but anyway. socialism and fascism are so diametrically opposed. I mean, that's like saying Michelle Bachmann intelligence. It just doesn't go together. I mean,
yikes.
Oh, and Michelle Bachmann is facing possible ethics probes from her presidential campaign in Iowa that these are actually extremely serious. So,
that's crazy,
Michelle. Oh, and speaking of Michelle Bachmann, how fucking delicious was it watching President Obama at the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Did you see the latest speech that he gave? Oh, my God.
I haven't seen all of it.
For one thing, we have never had a president that has this kind of comic timing. They don't have this kind of comic timing. But I saw this guy up there talking about how he looks older than he used to be. He's got more gray hair. And then he says, you know, some mornings you just look in the mirror and realize that I'm not the young, strapping, socialist Muslim that I used to be. and the wood joke, I get up. He actually said something that I couldn't believe he went there. I literally, my jaw was on the floor. He was talking about how people in the Beltway press, just to show how fucking divorced from reality these people are, they seem to think that that President Obama were more friendly with Republicans, they might actually work with him some more. Somehow that the big problem with, you know, between Democrats and Republicans aren't that Republicans are filled with a bunch of insane fucking racists. No, it's somehow that President Obama isn't inviting them over for tea and cookies often enough. But he was talking about how, you know, he wants to do a goodwill tour around the United States. He said he'll go and have a Texas barbecue with Ted Cruz. He'll go and listen to some Kentucky bluegrass with Rand Paul and go to a book burning with Michelle Bachmann.
Ooh,
burn. I heard that and I was like, oh, no, you didn't. Oh, my God. That was, he went there. He fucking went there. And I just was like, yes. And I also love the fact that when he does these comedy routines, he always at some point in the night leans over and looks at the Fox table and says, that was a joke, by the way. But oh no! Pull it up on the best part of C-SPAN all year are these are these presidential joke fests with the White House Correspondents' Dinner. It's just this one. I mean, it's not as good. I mean, the best one that he ever did was the one when he was teasing Donald Trump about the whole birther thing and the birth certificate thing. Ironically, that the best White House Correspondents' Dinner comedy routine he ever did was the day before we took out Bin Laden. And he was sitting there doing this comedy routine knowing full and well that when he went back to the White House that night, he was going to be supervising real time the assault on the Bin Laden compound. So the fact that he could have all that on his mind and still deliver a comedy routine way better than anything Saturday Night Live has done in the last 20 years is just awesome sauce to me. Oh, my God.
I love him.
How are we doing here? We got more questions. You know, I don't want to just keep talking about whatever I want to talk about all night, because if I did that, I'd start talking about movie scripts and my new video projects that I hopefully will get to plug before we're done here.
Well, actually, we've got, if you want to answer, because, this is from now on what we're going to do, because this has happened a couple times, like, somebody has called in with a question, and, like, as soon as they call in, you answer it, so we're just going to give you the questions ahead of time. if people have questions they want to ask, they can shoot in to us on our page, or if they want to go to, you know, DesperateHouseWitches@gmail.com, or send them to Taliesin or the Pagan Pundit page.
You can message me through the Pagan Pundit page. You can message me through my personal page. Just for people to know, I have not only have the Pagan Pundit page, but the Taliesin Govan in my personal Facebook page. Even though I have like 4,900 friends, and some of these days I'm going to max out the list, although I found a great way to keep myself from maxing out my list at 5,000 people. Whenever I start getting close to 5,000, I just start talking about a bunch of gay rights, guns, and abortion stuff, and magically 20-30 people make space. But anyway.
Perfect.
I'll tell you, if you go to my Facebook page, the Taliesin Govan, and my personal page, you don't have to be on my friends list to get my stuff. All you have to do is subscribe to my public updates, because everything I do is public. I don't do anything private on that page. I have no illusions that anything I'll ever put on fucking Facebook is ever going to be private. So all of my updates are private. You can comment on all of my threads, even if you're not on my friends list. All of that is completely open. You can message me. It's as open as you can possibly make a Facebook page, just because I didn't want things to be limited at a certain number of people. If more people want to get in on the conversation, if more people want to see what's going on and want to join in, or they just want to lurk in the shadows and read and chuckle along, that's cool. I just tell people, though, that if you're not on the friends list, you got to behave yourself. If you act like an idiot, I'm going to call you an idiot. And I'm probably going to use several more synonyms and get out my little thesaurus of moronitude just to, unload on you personally. So, you know, play nice, but everything on my page is completely fucking open. But I also have the Pagan Pundit page, and I also have a Facebook group that I do stuff on that's called Straight But Not Narrow. It's for straight people who are allies of the LGBTQ community. You can always hang out on there. There's bunches of shit I do on there. But yeah, check me out on Facebook. Send me your questions. If there's something that you really need to know, like right away, I may be able to get it back to you, like through typing. It depends on how busy I am. But sometimes I can, you know, if somebody's like, oh my God, my incredibly fucking racist uncle is coming over tomorrow and I need some really good one-liners to shut him the fuck up, I'll be like, oh yes, let me help you with that. So.
Because we've got about like 10 minutes left, and I know that you are actually in the process of making a film right now, are you not?
Well, right now I'm starting to work on a web series. It's even more accessible than a film. It's going to be a web series. We're going to have it out on the internet for people to watch for free. And right now I am the only writer on the show. I'm also a co-producer, and I'm probably going to direct a couple of episodes too. I'll be editing it. I'm co-producing it with this bloke named Roger Preeby, who I've worked with before. And also One of the co-producers and the director of photography is Noelle Bai. Anybody who's seen Dark of Moon should know that she's the director of photography for Dark of Moon. So I'm getting her to come back for this project. And this is a web series called Quarter Bin, and it's about five friends who hang around a comic book store. So it's got a lot of geek humor. It's going to be a blend of comedy and drama and romance. The episodes are going to be somewhere between 9 and 12 minutes long each. And we're going to have a first season of 10 episodes. So we're in pre-production on that right now. We're going to start casting. Anybody in the northeastern Ohio area who wants to audition can go ahead and Facebook message me. We're also going to be looking for crew to work on this. We're going to need people who can carry lights without breaking them, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
but we're looking at a cast of we're going to have a core cast of main characters, three women and two guys. Then we're going to also have a peripheral cast of some different men and women. We're also going to have a really awesome lesbian character named Carly is going to be in there. Although the opening episode is going to be about two main characters who have to break up because they find out that they're related. So it's going to have a blend of farcical comedy and drama and all that fun stuff. So now I'm doing that, but I'm also starting to work on a new screenplay. I want to start a new feature film by the end of the summer. I'm hoping that by August, September, I'm going to be able to start shooting on a new feature. And right now I'm working on a new script. I'm just working on it right now. But it's got a working title of Clown Ninja. So,
oh God, clowns.
Clown Ninja. Now, the thing is, though, that's only a working title. I'm not going to keep that for the regular title, but it actually comes from one of the concepts of the script I'm working on, which talks about how a lot of women want to be in a relationship with somebody who can make them laugh, but they also want to be in a relationship with somebody who makes them feel safe. Thereby,
true.
Clown Ninja.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Clown Ninja. That's hilarious.
That's just a working title, kind of like how they were calling Return of the Jedi Blue Harvest until they actually released the damn thing.
Oh,
but,
that's right. Well, I tell you what, if you would like, you can steal my saying. What I always call my husband is he's my knight in shining tinfoil.
Knight in shining tinfoil. That's good.
Yes, because he is. I love him, but you know, it's like he's a goofball.
Just call him the aluminum knight. There you go.
The aluminum knight. There you go. That's perfect. You know, it's a Sir Dude of Reynolds. There you go. That's
Sir Trips a Lot. Oh,
sorry. Hey, one time I was at a festival and we were doing some improvisational theater and I was playing a character called Sir Tokes-a-Lot, okay? So that's that brings
that's
back
awesome.
Some fun memories. You know what's really funny? You want to talk about a great... We're getting ready to start on festival season here and I hope that y'all are going to be making it down to Starwood this year because it's going to be off the fucking hook and I'm actually thinking about doing a workshop called The Pagan Pundit where I'm going to spend the whole workshop answering people's questions about politics in ways for people who don't understand politics to understand them. So that's one of the things I want to do this year. But
brilliant.
As upon
that
us,
is so cool.
We're going to have lots of great stuff going on. I'll never forget one year I was at a Starwood, and we were doing this workshop that was called Magic for Potheads, and it was talking about trying to unlock the natural cannabinoids that your brain makes through going through the motions of smoking weed without actually smoking weed, something that you can do in public without getting busted. And what was really funny is that during that workshop, while we were passing a pretend joint, somebody lost their real fucking lighter. So, you know, magic.
Whoa.
Has been.
Ha! That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm about to go and hang out with the druids at Stone Creek Grove this Sunday for the Beltane rite. So, anybody's in northeastern Ohio, come to River Grove on Sunday. We're going to, the Stone Creek Grove ADF is going to be having an off-the-hook Beltane celebration. We'll get to, get flowers from the May Queen, so we can say that we're deflowering the May Queen. We can tie our prayer cloths onto a tree. We can do all that fun stuff. It's going to be awesome. Anybody in Northeastern Ohio should come out and check it out because Druids have more fun. Come on.
I know you guys are a fun lot.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make Wellspring this year, but it's because I, you know, moved into a new house, and I am really, really out of fucking money right now. Although anybody who wants to get, I found a stash when I was moving. I found a stash of the first edition pressings of Dark of Moon. Anybody, I'm working on getting Dark of Moon sold to a distributor, and when that happens, the packaging is going to change. So anybody who wants to get the original packaging that was designed and printed by yours truly, go ahead and send me a message. I've got about 10 of them left. If you want, you know, we can sell these off here. You can get copies of the soundtrack if you want to get copies of the soundtrack. I got those for sale. So if you want to support your local pagan filmmaker, then just go ahead and let me know. And then we're going to be doing Quarter Bin. We'll keep people posted on that. And hopefully midsummer I'll be able to start a Kickstarter campaign to start raising gas money for my next feature film. So it's
awesome.
Got to be an interesting summer here for us. And I'm now a film editor, too. I've learned how to edit, so I'm going to be editing my projects, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
As if I don't have enough fucking going on. Yeah, I know.
It's like he does it all.
Oh, yeah. And actually, keep an eye out because, again, in the next couple of months, I'm going to be launching the Pagan Pundit blog, where I'm going to be having weekly Pagan Pundit podcasts and video podcasts. So I'm going to be doing that as well. So it's just all kinds of things on tap coming up this year.
Yes.
That's good. Good things.
Oh, yeah, and Dorian, I understand you're an artist, aren't you?
Yes, I am. You know, I still need to work on that cartoon caricature for you.
Yes,
I don't know
that
if that's the right way.
Caricature, because I want to use it for my blog, and then we can start T-shirts.
Okay.
And anybody who wants to have my beautiful visage on a screen printed T-shirt, we can hook you up with that. Maybe we'll even do Pagan Pundit mugs, and okay, we can do a Pagan Pundit clock. Actually, I think it would be a great thing. We should do the Pagan Pundit clock for Republicans, and we'll put the numbers going backwards.
Oh,
oh,
beautiful!
Oh, I love it. That was good. Okay, 1 point for Taliesin. That was really funny.
Ta-da! Yes.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Oh, we are about out of time. I swear, this time it goes by so quick with you. It really does.
It goes by. Bye
bye.
Yes, and now I'm going to get to go in and I'll get to go in and eat the dinner I just got done cooking before I came on the thing. I knew that was going to happen, though, because you guys only called me like 3 or 4 minutes early. But
I'm
going to go in. I'm going to have my braised winter vegetables with whole wheat pasta. And tomorrow I'm going to be probably making up some eggless vegan egg salad with tofu and garbanzo beans, chickpeas. Oh, yeah, it's been great. Ever since I put out on my webpage that I'm going vegan, I've been getting a lot of great recipes people have been sending me. There's one obnoxious carnivore, but we kind of slapped them down. So,
there you go.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm a carnivore. I'm an omnivore, you know, and it's
right.
Like, I don't care what anybody eats. It's like, you know, don't shame me for eating what I eat. And
right.
I definitely won't do it to anybody else. But
no, and people should know I'm going vegan, but I you know, I'm going vegan. The only animal product I'm going to eat is pussy. But other than that, I'm just going to be on the vegetables. So.
Well, alrighty.
That's a perfect way to end the show.
All right, campers, have a good one. Have fun and party on, everyone.
Love you.
Thanks, Taliesin. Bye. All right, so we are about out of time, but don't forget to go check out Taliesin's 2 pages. I've been posting them all night. Also check out his movies and his. I'm excited about his webcast.
I am too.
And, oh, got to do a plug for Cobalt Raven's Magical Notions, magicalnotions.storenvy.com. I am doing the same contest. I'm doing the Magical Grab Bag. If you spend $25 or more in the store, and Starcraft Creations is still $25, and I'm getting ready to put more in the store tomorrow. These are absolutely priceless. But
thank
$25
you.
Or more, May 31st, and we will draw your name out of a hat. We've only got a couple seconds. So I love you.
We love you.
We will talk to you guys next week.
Good night, everybody. Listen big.